chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to do a bit of a study on child rearing. And I'm going to do it Sunday school style, more or less. So it will be open to questions. So if any of the men have a question and you want to ask a question, you can raise your hand. Maybe you'd like to just jot down a question and we'll cover it at another time. If you hear me say something and isn't clear, or you think there's an exception or an objection or something you'd like to have me deal with, please submit it and I will be glad to deal with it. If you have a problem you think is unique, you don't know how to solve, and you want me to take a crack at it, I will take a crack at it also. Our Father, we come before Thee now and we pray, Lord, that You might speak to our hearts as we look at the Word of God, that our desire might be to follow it to the best of our abilities. We pray, Lord, that our children might be a glory to Thee. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, you know, if you look around at our nation, you don't have to go very far. If you go to the malls or whatever, stores and different places, I think one of the things that I have noticed is that we have a nation, a society of brats. Now, they were trained. Everybody is trained one way or another. And most of them, I do say, were probably trained by their favorite nanny. And her initials are TV. And I would say that it's very possible as we get into, teens, kids get into their teenage years, that they have indulged in more sin than a 19th century sailor. And all of this probably before their 17th birthday. The Bible has some things to say about this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And they're probably going to come soon. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. That means that people will be selfish, wanting for themselves, covetous. That means lusting after things that they desire and want and continue to lust after them and always coveting and always wanting. Boasters, proud, blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Now it says perilous times shall come, and one of the marks of it will be that children will be disobedient to their parents, not obeying, not doing what their parents tell them to do. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent. Now this word incontinent means without self-control. It means unrestrained. That's the meaning. It means that these people spoken of here will not have the self-control. And because they don't have self-control, they will drink and not be able to stop drinking. They will take drugs and not be able to stop taking drugs. They'll get into fornication and not be able to stop it. They will get into rock music and not be able to stop it. And so forth, right on down the line. The next word is fierce. And this word fierce is interesting because it's, you know, it's fierce like an animal is fierce. It means untamed or savage. And that's the picture what people will be like. They will be like animals in that they will not be tamed, disciplined, but that they will be savage. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And we see that in young people today. They are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They don't want to come to church. You can't get them to come to church where the gospel is preached. And they're looking for their pleasure. They are not looking for God. Now, that is a description of what they're going to be like in the worst of times in the last days, could be now, and in perilous times. That's what they're like. But ours should not be like that. If you want to avoid that, the first thing that you teach a child, is obedience. It's the very first thing. Absolutely first. I got a whole list of things here that we'll go over in the weeks to come when I'm doing these things. And there are lots of things that they probably ought to learn in the rearing process. But the first is obedience. There isn't anything else that you can do. If you can't teach them that, you can't do all the rest. Obedience is the absolute first thing. And, you know, getting them saved is very important, but that's not the first thing. Because you could start to teach them obedience when they're 2-3 years old. You can't get them saved when they're 2-3 years old. They don't understand yet how to be saved. But they can start to understand what it means to obey. And that's what God wants from children. Turn to Colossians, just back a few pages to Colossians 3:20. And the Lord wrote this to kids. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. That's your responsibility, young person, before Almighty God. God has told you, children, obey your parents in all things. That's what God expects of you, that you will obey your parents in all things. God expects obedience from you. So when you are told to do something or not to do something, then you should obey your parents because God told you to obey your parents. And not because you say, well, I say, why? You know, why should I do that? I don't know whether that's right or wrong. That's not for you. God told you to obey your parents. And the way that a parent teaches obedience is with a spanking stick. That's how it's taught. Now turn over to Proverbs chapter 20. You know, last night, before the service started, one of the youngsters came up to me. Kind of unusual that they do this, so I think they did it once before. He came up to me and said, "What's the sermon going to be about tonight?" And I was kind of leaned way down right on his level, so my face was right next to his, and I said, "It's going to be about spanking kids." I wish we could have got a picture of his face. All right, the way you teach obedience is with the spanking stick. That's how you teach it. God said that. Proverbs 20, verse 30. The blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil, so do stripes the inward parts. I want you to notice what God says, that the cleansing away of evil is done by the stripes, does the inward parts. The stripes cleanses the inward parts. That's what does it. They need to be spanked. You know, I got this article out of USA Today last Thursday. And it said this, spanking isn't a hit with today's parents. Here's some things from the article. Parenting can be tough, but most moms and dads who responded to a USA Today survey aren't in the habit of spanking their kids. Our Living in the USA survey of 8,000 readers reveals 53% say that parenting is harder than they thought it would be. 40% say it's about what they expected. Only 7% of the parents say spanking or hitting is the most effective discipline. Only 7% of those surveyed said that spanking or hitting is the most effective discipline. I don't believe in hitting. I don't believe hitting is right. But spanking is another story. And only 7% thought spanking was an effective discipline. And you can see how far removed people are from the Word of God. 71% favored disciplining with timeouts, grounding, or restricting privileges. Now that comes right out of behavior modification. Now some of those things can be used, I believe, but they're not used in place of spanking. 82% of these parents were spanked as children. And then it goes on to say that Dr. Spock was campaigning against spanking. We ought to campaign against him. He ought to be sent to Siberia. All the bad he has done. I'll tell you something. You can see here that this, if this is characteristic of our whole country, that 7%, only 7% think that spanking is the right thing to do. If that's characteristic, and it probably is, because that's what it looks like. We look like we've got a generation of unspanked kids. Everywhere you go, you see them with their t-shirts and their arrogance and their disobedience and their absolute sinfulness. It looks like they were not spanked, and it looks like they were not taught obedience. And you see what happens is, our society is run on the wrong premise. The whole society is run on a wrong premise. And then we wonder why something is wrong. And we've got an answer for everything that's wrong in our society. You know what it is? Get the government to give us more money in a program and we'll get it right. That's how we do everything. You see, we got an educational system that's all messed up and it's filled with brats and it's filled with sin. And it's producing the kind of education it should. And nobody will look back and say, you know, we built this thing on the wrong foundation 30 years ago. They won't say that. You know what education does? They look at it right now and they say, well, you know what the answer is here? We need more of this and we need more money to fund this thing, to do this, to get a better education. No, we got to go back and strip it away, all the garbage that was brought in to begin with. You see, everything is built on the wrong premise in our country. And parenting is built on the wrong premise also. And you see, the penal system is built on the wrong premise. Everything is built on the wrong premise. Therefore, it does not work. Therefore, we got more criminals. Therefore, we got more repeat offenders. Therefore, we got more drug problems. Therefore, we have more booze problems and right on down the line. Because it's all built on the wrong premise. And you know what that premise is? The premise is that all people are basically good. And the saddest thing about that is that the average Christian parent operates on the same premise. You say, oh no, that's not true. Oh no, I know it's true. You know how I know it's true? Because I get called into all these discipline cases in our school. And whenever there's a problem, and it's hard to resolve the problem, it's usually because the parent has the idea, oh no, my child would never do that. What's the idea? The idea is, my child is good. My child wouldn't do it because my child is good. Could have been my child's fault. Must have been the teacher's fault. Must have been another student. Anything else, but not my child. Because my child is a good child. Hey, let me show you something. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is found in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now God said that, didn't he? God said that. He said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But you said, not my child. Oh no, my child would never do that because my child's a good child. But God said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And this is why the Christian schools in this nation have so much problem. Christian schools want to have a standard. And the parents say, yeah, we love those standards, until their kid breaks the standard. And when their kid breaks the standard, they don't want to admit their kid broke the standard because they believe, like the world believes, that their kid is basically good because it's their kid. Oh, I know my kid, and my kid wouldn't do that. Well, God said your kid would do it because God said foolishness is bound in the heart of yours. And I believe that about mine. I just wanted to let you know that. I'll say more about that in the future, but I believe it. See, God said it. It's true. And then God said, there is a way to take care of that foolishness. The rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That's what God said was a rod of correction. He didn't say it was time out. He didn't say it was something else. He said it was the rod of correction. It's time we buckled down and started using the stick and not the mouth. Started using the stick and not the substitutes. And you know what? We're always ready to substitute. Always ready to substitute. All right, now how do you use a stick? There are people that spank and they do it all wrong. They do it all wrong. And then they think, well, God must have been wrong because I've been spanking and my kid is still a problem. Right? God's never wrong. You do something wrong. How do you do it? How do you spank right? Well, I'll give you a couple hints. If you're going to teach obedience, the most important thing you're going to teach is obedience. If you got that, a whole lot of other stuff will follow. The way you do it, you start as young as possible. Let's take a real little one. The best way to start, little ones like to touch stuff they shouldn't touch, right? Always want to touch something they shouldn't touch. So what do? You say, don't touch that. Especially if it's important to you. Say, that they don't touch. You say, don't touch that. Okay? Now, I can preach these things. People get good and mad at me, but maybe someday you'll say, okay, he was right after all. We'll do it that one. So what happens? Mama says, don't touch, What does Mama do? Well, there's the two worst things possible to do. I'm repressing the desire to say that people are stupid to do these things. I don't want to say that. So I don't want you to get mad. Okay. Don't touch. I told you, don't touch. That's bad mistake number one. Bad mistake number 1A is take him away. Right on back, right? We pull him away. Ooh, we can redirect him and take him over here, put him in another place and put him in their cage, right? What are you teaching? You're not teaching obedience. You're not teaching obedience. You are teaching that when you speak, it means nothing at all. You're teaching them disrespect. And what do? When you're little, give them a whack. Pow! Right on the hand. They turn around and look at you and go, Rah! And some of them go right back with the hand there again. And this is where the softy mommies go, oh, I couldn't hit that little hand again, Yeah. So what do? Hit it again a little bit harder, That's how you do it. All right, now, gotta get a little bit older. I could never stand discipline when they were that young. I always did what I just told you. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm consistently everything I teach, but I did do that. I just never believed.
that you have any brains at all in your head if you ever give a command and you don't back it up.
Sorry to hurt your feelings, folks. Okay. Now, let me tell you how to teach obedience. You know how they get older, and what I'm waiting for is the day that they're out of diapers. You know? Because when they got diapers, if you spank them with a diaper on, that's not too great. And if you have to pull the diaper down, that's a pain in the neck. You know? But you might have to do it. Anyway, but when they're finally out of diapers, you know, and they're old enough to go around and start to learn how to do something, and maybe you say to little Morgan, Morgan, go to your room now. It's time for bed. You know. Here we go. Here we go. Now, what little Morgan is going to go to bed because it's time for bed? Very seldom is little Morgan going to do that. So, if you're going to teach Morgan obedience, the best way to do it is, you know, I don't believe. Let's say Morgan is sitting and he's looking at a book or something like that. Hopefully it's not TV. He's looking at a book or he's playing with his toys or you know, something of that nature. I don't expect, and as soon as I say Morgan go to bed, that he's going to leap. Well, like that's it. But neither do I expect that he is going to go on and play as if I was a wall and not a person. I don't expect that. Which means he's got about 15 seconds to show that he's on his way. All right? That's because that's 15 seconds is Anderson's grace period. Now, he's not moving. And it's obvious to me that he is not about to obey. Now, remember this. This is a hard, hard concept for human beings to remember. But remember this. If you say a second time, Morgan, go to your room, you are a disobedient child. When you said it the second time. Right? You didn't obey the first time? Then what time will he obey it? What time will he obey it? Now he's gonna, you know, you say it the second time, and then he's gonna figure out what this thing is all about, you know? If you say it a second time, chances are you're gonna say it a third time. And then maybe a fourth time. And then he goes, did I tell you to go? He said, well, what does it take to get me to go to bed? How many times do they have to nag or yell at me or demean me or be mean to me before I will go to bed and I will get there? You know, that's how I'll do it. That's kind of what's going through the kid's mind. That's not how you teach obedience. That's how you teach disobedience. You're teaching your child to be disobedient for one simple reason. Because when you told them to do something, they ignored you and they did not do it. They are disobedient when they didn't do it on the first time. They're disobedient. Now, you want to cure that? Be consistent. And here's how you cure it. After the 15 seconds is up, you notice that Morgan's not moving. And you can see he doesn't have any intention of obeying you. Now, there's a nice way to handle this. You bolt out of your chair. You run and get the spanking stick. You run and grab Morgan by the arm. And you run him into the place where he belongs. And you wail on him. Good! That's how you do it. Now, lest the whole ACLU start to come in here after me for yelling this out so loud. And they would anyway. Spanking is important. You spank. And you get a good stick to do it.
and you spank in the right spot. Now everybody knows where that spot is, right? You spank, it's on the back of baby's tummy. And you spank, that's where you want to spank. And the youngster, I mean, you don't want to hit them on the legs, on the heels, because they're kicking up their heels on the hand, you don't want to break their elbows and do all those kind of things. Now, some children take it a little bit, others of them squirm. And when they squirm, what do? You say, oh man, this is an emotional mess here. I'm not going to do this emotional mess. It is emotional mess. It is. I'm telling you, parents, I'll bet you that every parent in this building, and most of them that aren't in this building, really love their kids. Yeah, I'll bet they do, And so there was that old saying, remember the old saying, this is going to hurt me more than it is you, Kid never believed that. Kids say, boy, I'd like to be the spanker someday instead of the spanky. But it may not hurt it shouldn't hurt mom and dad more than it hurts the kid. But it's emotionally a bad time. It really is emotionally a bad time. And because of that, mom and dad had, they got to be together on this thing. They really have to be together on it. If dad's administering this thing and mom's painting, crying, carrying on, and all of this kind of stuff, the kid senses it, and then dad, I'm going to go through this, now I got to fight with her for 5 days, or she's mad at me for this, And you can't do that. You got to be together. But I'll tell you something, usually in a family, the dad is the stronger one, and the mom is the softer one. That's usually how it is. Not always that way. Some men are weak, and some men are pitiful, and some men aren't even home. And if that's the case, then the woman has to do what's right. She can't say, well, he's not doing his job, then you do it. All right? Somebody's got to do it. You can't go through life and say, well, the kid's messed up because his father didn't do it. You got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. You see? But they should stick together. But it's not always possible. You got homes where one's not saved or something like that, and somebody's got to take over and do right as best they can, and they got to be strong. And they got to do what's right, and you got to be strong. All right, now, you spanking a child, and you really spank that kid, you really give it to him. And it becomes a scene. Now the problem is maybe they're kicking and fighting and trying to avoid this thing. What do you do then? What you do then is you say, the more you fight, the more I'm going to give it to you. The more you struggle, the more you're going to get. That's what you do. Because if you don't, you ain't spanked right, and it isn't going to work. That's how it works. That's the way it is. So you keep giving it to them until they get the feeling about it, And what happens is that sometimes, you get a kid, and in their subconscious, they're thinking like that. They're not really thinking about it. I never thought a kid would think all this stuff out, but it seems like this is what some kids do. There are some kids who, in their subconscious, they must say, I'm going to teach that old buzzard that spanking ain't going to work with me. And the way I'm going to teach him is that he's going to spank, and I'm just going to give him more trouble, and I'm not going to let that spanking bother me that much, and I'm going to give him more trouble, and he's going to see that spanking ain't going to work. Right? Now, I think it must be subconscious. I can't figure, that some kids, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, are thinking that way, but they act that way. There are some that act that way. So what do? Well, you spank them again with more fury, And if you got to hold down the legs and hold down the arms and it's a whole big mess, you got to do it. And you spank them. And then they get even more arrogant. And now you're really mad. And you get even madder. And you really spank them. you shouldn't be out of your mind, but they see that you're not going to tolerate, and you spank them some more. And you say, good night, they're going to be bruised. Yeah, they're going to be bruised. And, they're screaming loud, you hit them some more, you see. This is exactly the reason why people say, oh, Pastor, this is ridiculous. You think I'm going to do that? You're crazy, yeah. We'll be reporting with your kid. Your kid will be troubled. I guarantee it. Every single problem we've ever had in our school with kids has always come from soft parents, never strict parents. I guarantee you. When I say smack them, and you keep on until they see that you're going to win. And because it's so emotional, so hard for you, you tend to let up and it becomes worse. But I'll tell you something. Once you've done it right, and it may have taken a few days to get it, but once you've done it right, you know what happens? That kid learns obedience. And you know what happens in a family when a kid has learned obedience? Now you not only love the child, but the child can be a joy to be around. Yeah. Because an obedient child, you can say, Morgan, go play in your room. Morgan, I'm going to be busy for an hour. And if he's obedient, he will do that. If you haven't taught him obedience, he'll be out giving you a bad time about everything. You know? Now, if Morgan's 3 years old, he can't remember for an hour. Of course, if you just whipped him as bad as I just talked about, he'd probably remember that for 3 days. But generally speaking, Morgan's 3 years old, he's not going to remember for an hour. I'd say maybe he'll remember for 15 minutes. And the older they get, the longer they can remember about those things. But you got to, these things have to be changed as a child grows from one age to another. But if they are obedient, you can enjoy your child. Because your child won't be a brat. Your child will do what you tell them to do. And you can say, play quietly here, or do this, or do that, and they're going to do it. And if they don't do it, and they know they get spanked right away, they'll learn how to do it, and they learn obedience. And that kind of house, there's a lot of peace in that kind of house. There's a lot of joy in that kind of house. And you really love being with your kids, because they're not giving you a bad time all the time. But let me tell you, once you've done that, doesn't mean that it's solved for life. They're going to have to be refresher courses. What happens? Kids go through cycles. We don't know how long the cycle is. But you kind of know when to get to the end of the cycle. And one of the things that my children have always done, and I think all kids have this thing built in. And it's all built in. Again, it's in the subconscious, but it goes something like this. I'm always talking with people, right? I'm always talking with people. And so if your kid's around, here's what happens. The little kid sees you talking with somebody, a deep conversation. The kid's thinking, hey, that's my dad. And he's more interested in talking to Bozo there than he is in playing with me. And I'm jealous about that. I don't like that. I know that's upsetting me, So what does he do? He knows what to do. He's got a question. And he comes with the question, or she comes with the question, comes right in, right in your face. Ooh, I don't like that. I don't like people in my face. I don't like that. There's only one person that should ever be in your face, and that's for other reasons. And I don't like, they're in the face, boom, they're in the face. Maybe you gotta go potty or something like that, Now, if you taught the kid obedience, you ought to be able to say to the child, get out of my face. Don't you dare come and get in my face when I'm talking to somebody else. You see? That's what you'll be able to do. And you'll leave. However, sometimes when you tell them that, they don't move. Because you know what? They're at the end of the cycle. At the end of the cycle. Now, if you spank them with the kind of effectiveness that I'm teaching tonight, you can have these long cycles. I like long cycles. If I got to be upset, I like a long cycle in between. Especially if you got more than one kid, you know? You know? But sometimes they're at the end of the cycle, you know? So you say, hey, get out of my face. I don't like that. You know, I'm not going to tolerate that. And they're looking like, but daddy. See, they're at the end of the cycle. That means they now need a new administration of spanking to take care of that disobedience. And it goes over and over and over again. Well, that's all for tonight. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. There's a lot more to be said. You've got a question, you write it down and let me have it. And next time we'll pick up with some more ramifications of those things. Our Father, we come before thee now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that we might believe the Bible, that we might put it into practice, and that we might see the fruit of it in our children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.